What happens when a believer renounces the faith? That's what we're going to explore in today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, thanks for tuning in to the show. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, the organization that puts on this wonderful show. I'm so glad that you've tuned in because we are currently in a series of question and answers. You can get your questions answered by sending us a message, radio@faithalone.org. Well, let's go to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
All right, so we're doing some Q&As, and we have been for a while. It's amazing what a large part of our job is, answering questions from people. I mostly do Facebook questions, and you do a lot of email questions, but we've never had an avenue for doing it publicly. And so these Q&As, I think, have been good for us and probably good for the people listening.
Well, I agree. For years and years, I used to answer people's questions just directly, and so I would write, I don't know, in a year, 100 pages or more in emails, and only one person would see them each time. And I started saying, if I'm going to take the time to write a page to this person, why don't I make it a blog?
Sure.
And now we've started doing some of them for our radio program. So to me, this is a better way to get the word out. Instead of just getting it to one person, why not share it with more?
And this is actually answering the questions that people are asking us over and over again. So it's like this is the stuff people actually, that it's burning on their hearts and minds.
Right, you know? And we pick the cream of the crop questions. We're not just taking every question. So when someone has a good question, it ends up as something we discuss on the radio if
right.
It's really good. And so thank you for sending in your questions, and keep it up because we'll respond to them.
And by the way, did you tell me that there was a major ministry once and they had like 20 employees or 10 employees just answering questions?
Oh, yeah. Focus on the Family has, I don't know how many. They have several psychologists that are just answering, you know, talking to people on the phone.
Right.
And then Insight for Living. I don't know how many people Insight for Living have that just answer questions, but it's a significant number because these are huge ministries.
Right. But when you write to us, it's me and
it's
you.
It's us.
Well, here's a question.
Well, Ken. Now, Ken is outside, but Ken Yates does answer some questions.
That's right. Ken Yates answers a lot of questions, but he doesn't do podcasts so much. But he's part of us. You
right.
know? So it's like the three of us, I guess.
Yeah.
All right, here's a question from Robert, and it's about the popular author Joshua Harris, who wrote the book, and I remember it was popular when I was a new Christian, was I Kiss Dating Goodbye.
And clever title. I wish I'd thought of it.
I Kiss Dating Goodbye, yeah. He recently renounced the faith, or at least I think that's what I remember reading. And this questioner, Robert, says, is Joshua Harris still saved even though he renounced Christianity? Or more generally, and I like that he made it more generally because I don't want to speculate
right.
about one guy. Or more generally, is anyone who becomes apostate really saved, or were they never truly saved at all? If saved, why? If not, why not?
Okay, here would be my point. First of all, on the Harris guy, I don't know enough about him to know if he ever believed in the free gift of everlasting life. Was he a person who professed faith alone in Christ alone? I don't know. If he was, then he's born again. That's the more broad question.
Right.
Now, by the way, apostasy means falling away from the faith.
Mm-hmm.
You can't fall away from the faith unless you're in the faith.
Mm-hmm.
So some people use the term apostasy to refer to any kind of falling away within Christianity. So if a Catholic stops being a Catholic, that's apostasy.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't call that apostasy because if the person is not born again, and most Catholics aren't, I mean, I realize there are some Catholics who believe that it's by faith alone apart from works, but that's the exception, not the norm. The same thing with other religions. You know, you could have people in the cults that at one time believed the faith alone message, right? Something like 300 Baptists a week become Mormons.
Right.
Well, some of those people are born-again people that get sucked into a cult.
Right.
And even the non-Christian religions sometimes will take a believer and they get pulled into these non-Christian religions.
Mm-hmm.
So my point would be true apostasy is where a person is born again and they fall away from the faith.
From the true faith, biblical from the true faith, faith. Biblical Christianity.
So we could say they're false apostates, but the true apostates are born again.
It's like whether you're a faithful Mormon or an unfaithful Mormon, you're not really an apostate because you were never in the biblical faith
right.
to begin with.
Exactly.
You're just lost.
Right. I wouldn't call that person an apostate. I would call a person an apostate someone who has believed the free gift of everlasting life and then fallen away.
Interesting. All right.
And those people are born again.
Right.
Because Jesus said, "He who lives and believes in me shall never die." And never die means never die.
Right. So eternal security is true the second you believe in Jesus.
Right.
And it doesn't depend on how much more believing you do or how much more living you do for Christ. It happens in a moment, and you're secure in a moment.
And it doesn't matter from the standpoint of security.
Yeah.
It does matter in other ways how far you fall. Some people fall from the free grace, the grace alone. It's by grace through faith apart from works. And they fall, let's say, into some sort of Protestant denomination that believes in work salvation.
Right.
Well, that's a fall, and that's apostasy, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But it's not a total apostasy.
Right.
There are other people who end up in the cults. That's apostasy, and that's not quite total because they're still saying, well, I believe in Jesus, even though their view of Jesus is defective and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
But how about somebody who falls from Christianity to atheism?
Yeah.
To me, that's more apostasy.
Yeah.
I have a friend who has done that, absolutely fell away into apostasy, and the person knows that he's born again if the Bible's true. He doesn't believe the Bible's true anymore.
Right.
But he even witnessed to some guy one time who was an Orthodox who was saying, "Oh, no, I can lose my salvation." He said, "You don't believe your own Bible." He said, "I don't believe the Bible either."
Right.
"But you're a hypocrite for saying you believe the Bible, and then you say you can lose your salvation because the Bible's clear. You can't lose your..." And this atheist said, "If the Bible's true, I'm saved."
Right.
"Even though I'm an atheist."
Because he had believed in Jesus at one time.
Right.
And he knew he had.
Right.
So Robert, when he says, more generally, if anyone becomes apostate, were they never truly saved at all? Sometimes people say that because there's this expectation that once you believe, you can never fall away. Once
right.
you believe, you're always going to believe and you're always going to continue in faith and good works. You might slip up every once in a while, but you'll never commit a major sin and stay in it. And so there's this expectation, and I don't know where that comes from exactly. I think it's tied up with this idea that God chooses individuals to be saved. There's this thing called predestination and election. So there's some type of guarantee that they're never going to fall away. But that's not our view.
No, I like to think of it this way. We're not eternally secure because we have eternal faith.
Mm.
We're eternally secure because we have faith in the one who is eternally faithful to his promise that he who believes in me has everlasting life.
Right.
The moment we believe in the one who's eternally faithful, well, we can't lose our salvation because he is faithful. Not
right.
because my faith is going to persevere.
No.
It may, but it may not. And I think the person who thinks it's impossible for them to fall, well, that person is much more in danger of falling than the person who realizes they could fall away.
Right. Now, some people think that a truly born-again person can never stop believing or can never stop progressing in faith and good works because once you become born again, that's such a powerful change. You know, you're born again, you're regenerated. That's so powerful that it can't fail.
That would be nice. That's just not what the Bible teaches.
Right.
But that would be nice. It
right.
would be nice if the moment you came to faith, no matter how hard you tried, you couldn't mess up. In fact, if the Calvinist position were true, the Calvinist ought to just go out and try as hard as he can to see if he can sin with gusto.
Right.
And if he can, he'd prove he wasn't born again.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's obviously stupid because if anybody tries to sin with gusto, they're going to succeed, believer or unbeliever.
Right.
What everybody realizes is we need to motivate people not to be motivated to sin.
Right.
Now, the reason is not to dangle them over hell and say, if you don't live the life, you're going to go to the lake of fire.
Right.
Instead, we should say, look, aren't you grateful for what Christ has given you as a
right.
free gift? And not only that, do you really want God's displeasure and his discipline in this life?
Mm-hmm.
And do you want to hurt your family? Because if you start walking away from the Lord, you hurt your wife, you hurt your kids, you hurt your husband, you hurt your neighbors, you hurt everyone. Right. And not only that, we all have to appear at the judgment seat of Christ.
Right.
So there's a whole lot of reasons to follow Christ, but one of them isn't so I can stay saved or prove I'm saved.
And also, those are reasons, not guarantees that are going to cause you to do this or that. You should. It's a moral obligation that you have, but it's not a guarantee that you're always going to suddenly become born again and now you're a holy robot and now you're only ever doing good things.
Right. It's almost like constitutionally you're now unable to sin.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if that were true, then you wouldn't sin, would you?
Right.
And if you do sin, why is it that God says, I'm going to only let you sin to level 50?
Right.
I'm not going to let you go above that.
Yeah.
Well, if so, why not? I don't want to sin anymore, do you? If we could quit sinning, go ahead, God, make me sinless now.
Yes,
I know,
Lord.
I'll be sinless in eternity, so why not now?
Right.
The reason is because this life is a test, and we have the flesh, and we carry around what Paul calls mortal bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And so this kind of question is going to keep coming up. Because of theological positions that say either you can lose your salvation or you can prove you never really had it.
So at the moment of faith, that very second that you believe in Jesus for the free gift of eternal life, you have that life. You can never lose it. You're eternally secure. You're born again in your spirit. But then you have a great possibility for maturing in the faith, for serving God, for doing great things to glorify Jesus' name, but that's not guaranteed. You can fail to mature. You can stay carnal like the Corinthians.
Right. And if you live in Sodom and Gomorrah, which we do today,
right,
it's harder.
Right. You might live a life as a secret Christian like Nicodemus did and fail to follow Jesus publicly. You might get stuck in a Romans 7 experience like Paul did, where he was all focused on a legalistic spirituality and he just experienced failure after failure after failure after failure. And you might never move beyond Romans 7 to Romans 8. But you can.
And you should.
And you should.
And that's why we're having this radio program. Because we want you to hear the Lord Jesus say at the judgment seat of Christ, "Well done, good and faithful servant." So abide in Christ, abide in His Word, abide in His church, the local church, the body of Christ, and one day soon, you'll have His approval.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you be interested in some free ebooks on subjects like what you hear on the show? Well, if you are, you need to come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On the site, we've got all kinds of free materials, but one of our popular options are our free ebooks on a range of subjects. They're designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of the faith and Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out more about how you can give, go to faithalone.org. Would you like to have a chat with Dr. Bob or Sean? I know that I enjoy it. Let me tell you how to reach out to the team. You can get us on our email address, which is radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about eternal rewards and how secure they are. You're not going to want to miss that episode. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.